Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Living the good life here in Los Angeles. It's time for Cannabis Healing with Paxton Quigley. I believe, Paxton, are you in Miami this morning?
Yes, I am. Hello, Adam, and hello to all of our Cannabis Healing listeners around the world. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors, voiceover coach Steve Guerin.
There is a constant search for new talent in the rewarding and lucrative world of voiceovers. Do you think you have what it takes? Steve Guerin's VoiceWorks, since 1988, offers Skype training. For more information about signing up for Skype voiceover coaching sessions, email Steve at voiceworksnyc@gmail.com. That's voiceworksnyc@gmail.com.
Folks, we've been reporting on the sale of legal marijuana in the state of Illinois, where apparently there has been a run on applications for medical marijuana. Why, you may ask? Because marijuana is now legal for everyone over 21. Well, the deal is medical marijuana patients pay far less tax for their products, and the state of Illinois is taxing some cannabis products up to a whopping 30%. Now, in other news this past week, MedMen, it's the nation's largest marijuana retail chain, as well as cultivators. They announced they were running out of money. And I got to tell you, I remember when the New York City dispensary opened on Fifth Avenue across from Macy's department store. It was a media frenzy. But it seems like times are a-changing. Our guest today is Peter Vogel. He's CEO and co-founder of LeafWire, which is a cannabis business network, and he'll talk about what's happening in the volatile world of cannabis. Peter Vogel, welcome to Cannabis Healing.
Well, thank you, Paxton. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Will you first tell our listeners about LeafWire, what it does, what its role is in the cannabis industry? And also, you might want to tell us also about cannabis jobs abroad, because I hear it's called the LinkedIn of cannabis.
Yes, that is how we promote ourselves. It's just it's kind of an easy analogy for people to understand. Essentially, what we've done at LeafWire is we've built the largest business network in cannabis. Right now, we have over 26,000 members who've all joined, created profiles. Most people put up pictures. They put a description of what they do, their location, their company, et cetera. So it's kind of all the same stuff you do on LinkedIn. And the whole point of the network is for people to be able to connect, to find each other, to share news, to promote industry events, to look for business partners, to look for jobs. And overall, just to kind of have a meeting place where business people can feel safe without the stigma that is, you know, out there still, as cannabis is still illegal most places, just a safe place where cannabis business people can find like-minded people.
That's good. So in terms of jobs, if someone wants to move to the countries that have marijuana, will you have jobs, you know, like, let's say, in Spain or wherever?
So we have about 1,500 jobs up on our job board right now. And they're primarily, we have Canadian jobs, so we do have, you know, outside of the U.S., international jobs. I believe we have some in Mexico. I don't know that we have any in Europe or not yet. And that's just because we haven't really expanded our presence here yet. But we do have almost every major city in the U.S., most of the major provinces in Canada, and I believe some in Mexico. So there are some opportunities, but the jobs on there range anywhere from grower to scientist to bud tender to head of marketing. So
sounds good.
All the different roles you can imagine.
And what's the website's call letter, so to speak?
It's just leafwire.com. So it's
good.
That's just how it sounds.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about MedMen. Can you please give our listeners a quick rundown on what's happening? Because I hear that they're offering to their vendors stock instead of cash that they actually owe. What is happening with MedMen?
So I've heard the same thing. I've seen all the same articles over the last few days. It sounds as if it was reported by, and this was on, I think, a site called Grizzle First, and then a Greed Mountain Report had an article something like 9 or 10 of their vendors were reporting that they were contacted and essentially being told that they were not going to be paid in full. And they were trying to either negotiate, pay them half of what was owed. That was what we initially heard. And then we heard, I just heard today what you just said, that they are now offering stock in place of cash. I don't know if it's the full value of what they're owed or not, but that would obviously be a little bit risky to accept stock in a company that's, at least from the outside appearance, looks like they're running out of money and there's been some mismanagement, you know, kind of reported that people think it's not being run efficiently and that they just haven't run it and that they've spent a ton of money on marketing over the last year or two.
Interesting. As I said before, when the dispensary opened on Fifth Avenue, I mean, there were lines, you know, almost going for a mile. People were so excited. So it's kind of awful, I would say, that here they were on the top and now they're having problems. But I guess that can happen. Now, how do you think the cannabis industry will be affected by, I would say, the end of prohibition? Which sectors of the industry will excel, in your opinion, in that situation?
I just want to say one last thing about MedMen that I do think there's still a chance for them. I mean, I think there will be some investors that come in, prop them up with some more cash, and they definitely have, as you mentioned, you know, beautiful stores in lots of places. So I wouldn't count them out yet. They have a big enough brand name that I think there's a solid chance they could come back.
Aha, but do you think the original owners will have as much power as they had if they get an influx of new people coming in with money? Or you don't know that?
It is common, I would say, when a lot of new money comes in or if there's a lot of financial issues, to have some shakeup at the top. You would expect some of the management would be changed or replaced, whether or not that's the very top or just some of the people. I mean, that, you know, who knows? But you would usually expect some sort of shakeup when there's a large financial influx like that.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Now, which sectors of the industry are going to really go once there's the end of prohibition? What do you think?
I think one of the most exciting kind of areas in cannabis right now are the companies that are building brands that are gaining recognition, and they're building a variety of different applications of cannabis, a variety of different strains, a variety of different usages, so that if you start to like one particular strain, you know, you have the ability, if you wanted to buy, you know, a liquid or an edible or flower or, you know, some other sort of bath bomb, bath salt. And I think those brands are going to be more important because once intrastate commerce is allowed, think how much easier. Right now, everyone that has a brand essentially has to have a warehouse and create the products in the state where they're going to sell them. They have to buy the cannabis in that state. Imagine how much easier it would be for these companies if they could have one larger central facility and just ship their product around to every state they want to be in. Imagine the marketing potential. You can all of a sudden now probably nationally market one brand everywhere rather than having to go state by state by state and having all the federal prohibitions against advertising everywhere.
I think brands
are the way to go.
Good. Well, I can see that there'll be some brands out there that are like Johnson & Johnson, and people will know what Johnson & Johnson is all about. So
right.
I can see what you're saying. Now, I know that there are a lot of young people that are looking to get involved in the industry. How should they be preparing for the industry? Should they be going to some of these colleges out there that we've interviewed who, you know, have courses in the whole cannabis business? What is your viewpoint on that?
Well, I mean, I think the reality is the majority of, so there are very specific cannabis jobs. Like if you want to be a grower, it probably, you know, would be helpful to go to some of the places where they're actually teaching people the science of growing and about the fertilizers and the soil and the weather and planting cycles and all of that. But for many, probably 80-90% of the other jobs in cannabis require all the same skills that every other job does, whether it's writing, reading, you know, math, creativity, science skills, et cetera, all the things that you learn in a normal education. So I would say, I mean, cannabis is just an industry like any other industry. Just because now it has a little bit of a lure, a little bit of a sparkle because it's, you know, illegal in many places. It, at the end of the day, it's just an agricultural industry where people are making a product and then selling it. So all of the same skills apply. So I think the normal education people are getting now, going to high school, going to college, learning basic skills, are applicable to almost every job in cannabis.
Well, that's nice to know. That really is nice to know. I wish we had more time to talk, but we will have you on again. But before we sign off, can you tell our listeners again how they can join your networking site?
Yes. Just go to leafwire.com. It's completely free to join. It takes about 60 seconds to create a profile, and you can immediately start interacting and networking with, you know, our 26,000 members. And that represents, by the way, I didn't mention this earlier, but 10,000 cannabis companies are on the platform.
My goodness.
It's a massive audience. You know, we're the biggest there is, and we're getting bigger every month.
Good. Well, thank you so much for being on Cannabis Healing today, and we hope to have you on the show again in the near future.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Folks, that's our show for today. We'd like to thank Tikkun Olam, cannabis and hemp producer and medical research company, for sponsoring today's broadcast. And we invite our listeners to search my name, Paxton Quigley, and you can visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, where you can listen to this broadcast as well as past broadcasts. And you can join the conversation. So please stay healthy, balanced, and stay in touch. I'm Paxton Quigley.